And you also, dear sister. Just a side note, in dealing with depression, that can lead to suicidal thoughts. And there's been some studies done on what causes depression. And we know that it's an emotional disorder. But they also discovered that a lack of niacin, N-I-A-C-I-N, niacin, and I think that's B3, but a lack of niacin in the body tends to depress the body. So in bolstering the niacin intake, even just supplements, can help to alleviate depression. Another comment says, eat 2 handfuls of cashews. Okay, and they have niacin in them. So if your friend, dear sister, is suffering from depression and that led to her suicidal thoughts, perhaps suggest to her to get some niacin supplements and take those and see if that doesn't help her depression. So just a thought. So happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our youth and adult Sabbath school time on this 28th day, the last Sabbath of April, 2018. Sabbath greetings to those listening on the phone and those joining us on the recording. And before we get into our study book, it's now time for opening prayer. And who would like to offer that for us this morning?
Father God, we thank you for having this Sabbath blessing day, and we thank you for having this beautiful day. I pray for the ones that are sick in the God, please put their hands on them. I also pray for the one that has broken spirit through our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen, and praise the Lord, and thank you, dear brother. We're continuing in our study book, Desire of Ages, and you can find the study book on our website at lightministries.com/ID621.htm. And this chapter is titled The Good Samaritan, and we're down close to the bottom of page 499. To the paragraph that starts out, both these men. And the last thing that we were discussing was Christ relaying a true story that had taken place along a road down a wild ravine that was infested by robbers. It was actually the journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. And this one individual had been attacked, left for half dead. A priest came by and didn't want to become involved. And a Levite then appeared and was curious to know what happened. He stopped and looked, but it was a disagreeable duty to take care of the man, to bind up his wounds and take him somewhere to be cared for. And he didn't have the time, and so he passed on by. So it was a true life incident. It was not a parable that was told. But anyway, Christ is relaying this particular incident to the lawyer that had asked him the question. And the lawyer said, well, who's my neighbor? And so Christ relates this particular story. And now we come to the new paragraph. Both these men were in sacred office and professed to expound the scriptures. They were of the class specifically chosen to be representatives of God to the people. They were to have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, Hebrews 5:2, that they might lead men to understand God's great love towards humanity. The work they were called to do was the same that Jesus had described as his own when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Luke 4:18. So the work of the priests and the Levites was a work of ministering to the needs of humanity and the needs of the people of God. So for the priest and the Levite to pass by on the other side, determining that they're not going to become involved, showed a lack of living up to the sacred office that they had been advanced to or called to. Now, in these last days, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, God, and Savior, then he has ordained each one of us to minister to humanity, and especially to God's people. So it's not just the pastors and the elders and the under-shepherds of God's flock that are responsible, but it's also each member of Christ's body is responsible. But especially are those called into that sacred office. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions?
I think that if you really have the love of Jesus in your heart, that you couldn't pass anybody by without trying to make them as happy as you are. But if you're just speaking from empty wisdom, so to speak, you think more of yourself and what you need to do rather than what the other person needs.
Amen. Amen. Following the last six commandments, to love your neighbor or even the stranger as much as you do yourself. So, amen. And who'd like to read the next paragraph?
The angels of heaven look upon the distress of God's family upon the earth, and they are prepared to cooperate with men in relieving oppression and suffering. God in his providence had brought the priest and the Levite along the road where the wounded sufferer lay, that they might see his need of mercy and help. All heaven watched to see if the hearts of these men would be touched with pity for human woe. The Savior was the one who had instructed the Hebrews in the wilderness. From the pillar of cloud and of fire, he had taught a very different lesson from that which the people were now receiving from their priests and teachers. The merciful provisions of the law extended even to the lower animals, which cannot express in words their want and suffering. Directions had been given to Moses for the children of Israel to this effect: if thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Exodus 23, verses 4 and 5. But in the man wounded by robbers, Jesus presented the case of a brother in suffering. How much more should our hearts have been moved with pity for him than for a beast of burden? The message had been given them through Moses that the Lord our God, a great God, a mighty and the terrible, doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger. Wherefore he commanded, "Love ye therefore the stranger. Thou shalt love him as thyself."
Deuteronomy chapter 10 verses 17 to 19 and Leviticus chapter 19 verse 34. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Now notice here that it was in the providence of God that the priest and the Levite came upon that wounded sufferer on the road at that very point in time. So they may have thought that they were directing their own paths and happened to need to go down to Jericho, or perhaps were coming back from Jericho at that particular point in the day. They thought they were following their own plans, but here it was in the providence of God that they would be at that point on the road to see the sufferer there after the man was wounded. So this means that since the angels of heaven look upon the distress of humanity here on the earth, that God then, because of his great love for humanity and his desire to relieve their suffering, will providentially rule in the affairs of his people so that they come into contact with those who are suffering, with those who need their help. Just like our dear sister was relaying this morning in her testimony. It was in the providence of God that you made friends with that sister, with that individual, so that you could be able to help her in this time of her need and continue to be a help to her. So that's what God was doing with the priest and the Levite. And notice here that all heaven was watching to see what the priest and the Levite would do. So here's one individual that's suffering, and all heaven is watching to see what the heart of the priest and the Levite was going to do in this case, to see if their hearts would be touched with pity for the wounded man and take the time to help him. That's amazing, dear ones. That's an insight into what takes place behind the scenes. A little bit of that veil is being pulled back so that we can see what God and the heavenly hosts are doing regarding suffering humanity. God purposely led the priest and the Levite there for the purpose of relieving this suffering wounded man. And all heaven was watching the outcome. So when we go about our daily duties and responsibilities, and if we happen to come across individuals that we see are suffering in some way, it's not by happenstance. It's by providence that God has allowed our paths to cross for just such a time as that. And all heaven may be watching to see what we're going to do. Are we going to pass by? You know, we have a schedule all outlined there, and taking time to relieve suffering humanity is not on that schedule. Are we going to follow the schedule because of a time restriction? Or are we going to take the time to manifest Christ-like love for suffering humanity? Are we going to pass by on the other side? Or are we going to be a good Samaritan? So Christ is relaying this true story and making the application very plain. So even though God is great, mighty, and is to be reverenced with awe, he takes the time to tend to the cares and necessities of the fatherless and the widow and the stranger.
Hello, Rob. I don't know if it's going to the lesson to what is now, but I was thinking about the scriptures that you have given me, and also, you know, I wanted the answer to the hope and the grace and the mercy of God, but just now the Lord put it in my heart that we need to be able to give the present truth, because the Lord was showing me that the people don't see tomorrow. They see the muck that is in today right now. So they can't see beyond that muck that is in front of them. So that's when the hope is gone. And they don't know God, so there's no mercy and no grace. So the Lord just put in my heart that the present truth is the thing that we need for the uttermost right now. That we need to teach the present truth. Where God is. What is he doing? That things not gonna be for a long time. It's just a moment. It could change in 1 second. Just the faith that we need to be able to live in these days today. Not by word, but by faith that we need today. So I don't even know. It's just so fumbling and it's kind of a little confusing. But I pray to God that you be able to understand it a little.
Thank you, dear sister. The present truth is the three angels' messages, and it's very easy to bring forth the first angel, you know, fear God and give glory to him, because the judgment is here, and worship him, who's the creator of us all. I mean, it's very easy to bring forth the first angel's message, which is present truth. So we're not to fear man, we're not to fear churches, we're not to fear the Pope. We're to fear God, and fear there doesn't mean to be afraid of him. It means to honor him. So we're to honor God. We're to give glory to God. And so how do we give glory to God? And it's a really simple answer. If we reflect the character of God, then we are uplifting God through his character and thus are giving him glory. Anytime you uplift the Lord, you are glorifying him before others. So we are to honor God and we are to have his character as our own, to give him glory. Because the judgment is here, and the judgment deals with deciding between right and wrong. Deciding the fate of those depending upon their actions, whether they have done right or have done wrong. So because of the judgment, the issue of people's actions come into play. So God will judge them depending on their actions, depending on what character they have developed. And the standard to determine whether their character is right or wrong, whether their actions are good or bad is by God's character. That then leads directly into Jesus Christ, who represented the Father's character so completely that it was as if the Father himself was there. So then looking to Jesus, we find the true understanding of God's character. We find the basis between what's right versus what's wrong. And Christ very clearly said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Christ was the one that led the children of Israel out of Egypt directly to Mount Sinai, where he gave them the Ten Commandments. So just in the first angel's message, which is very simple to bring forth to others, and they will understand it, we're to honor God, we're to be like him in character. Christ was the example of the character of God. And Christ said, keep my commandments. And when you look at the commandments, you'll find that the first four deal with supreme love to God, and the last six deal with love to your neighbor, including the stranger. So just in the first angel's message, you have the present truth necessary for individuals to come directly to Jesus Christ and find salvation. So you're absolutely correct, dear sister. It's present truth that the people need now. And manifesting God's character is indeed living up to present truth. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions?
Job had said, the stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. And when the two angels in the guise of men came to Sodom, Lot bowed himself with his face toward the ground and said, behold now, my lords, I turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night. Job 31:32 and Genesis 19:2. With all these lessons in the priest and the Levite were familiar, but they had not brought them into practical life. Trained in the school of national bigotry, they have become selfish, narrow, and exclusive. When they looked upon the wounded man, they could not tell whether he was of their nation or not. They thought he might be of the Samaritans, and they turned away.
Now, it's interesting here. They were trained in the school of national bigotry. What's bigotry? What does it mean to be a bigot? Amen. A comment in the room says, I'm better than you. It's putting yourself on a pedestal and looking at everyone else from that height as being beneath you. So it was a fault of the Jewish nation to look upon their status as being children of God and then better than everyone around them. Now, the Samaritans were their, Samaria was the capital of the 10 northern tribes that separated in the days of the son of Solomon. So the Samaritans were actually brethren of the Judeans, of the Jews. But because the Samaritans decided to worship a different God, a different system of religion, instead of having to go to Jerusalem like, you know, God commanded, they were looked upon as being unworthy of being Israelites. They were looked upon as being as the heathen, in fact, even worse than the heathen. So the Jews didn't see, the priest and the Levite didn't see that this wounded man was indeed a Samaritan. They just thought that he might be. And so just on that thought, that surmising, that guess, they turned away because they would have no dealings whatsoever with Samaritans. That's bigotry. Now, Christ's gospel centered on the fact that all ye are brethren. That eliminates bigotry. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what nation you may belong to. We're all creations of God. We're all human beings. So no one is more exalted than the next. In fact, Christ taught just the opposite of exaltation. He said, if you want to be the greatest, become the greatest servant of all. In other words, humble yourselves to serve others, and then you'll be great in the sight of God. So just the opposite of bigotry is what Christ taught. So just on the thought, now was it a good thought that they had of this wounded man or an evil thought? That's true, it was an evil thought. In other words, their surmising what this man may be was an evil surmising. They thought he might be a Samaritan, that was evil. And they turned away. Now, the Bible brings out that when we're uncertain about something, we're to give it the benefit of the doubt of it being good. So if they didn't know if this man was a Samaritan or not, they should not have evilly guessed he was. They should have given him the benefit of the doubt that he was not. That perhaps he was a relative of theirs, or a friend of a friend, or whatever the case may be. They should have thought the best of him. So it should have been a good surmising instead of an evil surmising. And that good surmising would have led them to help. But they evil surmised, and that kept them from helping. Now, the scriptures tell us that we're to look upon one another as equals, and in fact, to look upon the other as better than ourselves, letting the other go ahead of us, preferring them above ourselves. So, the teaching of the gospel is just the opposite of bigotry. It's the opposite of becoming selfish, narrow, and exclusive. But to be unselfish, liberal in the good sense, and including all instead of excluding them from our compassion and help. So now we can look at our actions and see where we are. How do we compare? And may God forgive us for becoming selfish, narrow, and exclusive instead of unselfish, liberal in the good sense, and loving everyone as ourselves. Amen. Comment in the room, it says, they, referring to the priest and the Levite, should have just seen that there is a person who needs help. Amen. Another comment, it says, it would have been, if it would have been one of them, then that would have been different. And that's true, but they didn't recognize the nationality of this individual. And they surmised he was a Samaritan. And so they left him alone. Did not want to be contaminated or made impure. Continuing. In their action, as Christ had described it, the lawyer saw nothing contrary to what he had been taught concerning the requirements of the law. But now another scene was presented. A certain Samaritan, Christ continues, in his journey came where the sufferer was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He did not question whether the stranger was a Jew or a Gentile. If a Jew, the Samaritan well knew that, were their condition reversed, the man would spit in his face and pass him by with contempt. But he did not hesitate on account of this. He did not consider that he himself might be in danger of violence by tarrying in the place. It was enough that there was before him a human being in need and suffering. He took off his own garment with which to cover him. The oil and wine provided for his journey he used to heal and refresh the wounded man. He lifted him on his own beast and moved slowly along with even pace so that the stranger might not be jarred and made to suffer increased pain. He brought him to an inn and cared for him through the night, watching him tenderly. In the morning, as the sick man had improved, the Samaritan ventured to go on his way. But before doing this, he placed him in the care of the innkeeper, paid the charges, and left a deposit for his benefit. And not satisfied even with this, he made provision for any further need, saying to the host, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." So here, the Jew, the priest and the Levite, the two Jews, pass by on the other side, but a Samaritan whom they hated stopped and helped the individual and went beyond just helping him. Went that extra mile. Now look what happened next. The story ended. Jesus fixed his eyes upon the lawyer in a glance that seemed to read his soul and said, "Which of these three thinkest thou proved neighbor unto him that fell among the robbers?" Luke 10:36. The lawyer would not, even now, take the name Samaritan upon his lips, and he made answer, "He that showed mercy on him." Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise." So it was clear that Christ was teaching who is our neighbor, not just the person next door. Any other human being that we come across who needs our help. That's who our neighbor is. So let us go and do likewise, that we may indeed give glory to God by living his life.
May we kneel down as we prepare for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. We thank you for the lessons that you have provided us, the lessons that you have chosen for us to take into our hearts and minds for us to absorb and to apply in our everyday lives. Thank you for being there to better ourselves and for us to move forward on this, in this hard but beautiful journey that you have set for us to tread. I pray that you will be there to continue to strengthen our knowledge, our hearts, and that you'll continue to push us in the right direction. That you will reach out for us when we start to trail off. I pray, Lord, for the rest of a beautiful Sabbath day and to keep on washing us and always being.
Amen. And a thank you, dear brother. May we remember these lessons that Christ taught and apply them in our lives and indeed show ourselves to be children of the Most High. Well, dear ones, let's go ahead and take a 10-minute break and then come back for our main church service at 11:15 Pacific time or 2:15 Eastern time.